On the Fly with Jaymon G, roving the grounds of Oshkosh, covering air venture A to Z. In Warbirds, in ultralights, down on the farm, at the museum and Pioneer Airport, at the seaplane base, over at the Vintage Red Barn, at the EAA Air Academy, at the Aviation Learning Center, at Lightsport. On the Fly is on the air. And now, your host, Jaymon G.
Jaymon G, and we are out at the seaplane base. It is a beautiful Saturday, and if you're listening on EAA Radio, AM 1210, 93.1 on the FM, or on the web at airventure.org, it is actually Sunday at 11:35 in the morning. We had a lot of rain this morning. Very fast-moving cold front moved through. Got everything a little bit wet and cloudy, but it has cleared up, and our weatherman, the cloud whisperer over at EA Radio, says we are going to have a breezy afternoon, but very little in the way of moisture. So we should have a good day today. And for those of you listening tomorrow on Sunday here on EA Radio, it should be very nice during the day as well until this evening when there is a forecast for some showers later on Sunday evening. So we are excited to be back out at the seaplane base, one of our favorite venues, and I'm joined by Paul Seehafer, who is the chairman of the seaplane base. Once again, Paul, it's great to be here.
Welcome, Jay.
So tell us, this year versus last year, the year before, how are things? It looks just as busy to me this year as it did last year on this day.
It has been busy. We've had a lot of flying activity. Weather hasn't been the best, but seaplane guys are going to fly all they can fly. When we get really busy, active periods, it seems like when we got nice weather, because everybody wants to go out to fly at the same time, we get busy, very, very busy, but the crowds love it.
Yep, and there's a lot of activity, and we have some special airplanes here this year. It looks like the old family's all here.
They're all here, like usual. That's what keeps things running, and I think that's part of maybe what the seaplane base has to offer. The EA members that find the time to make it out here, check out their seaplane base. It's part of their membership, and it's what I always refer to as value added. A lot of members aren't aware of that, but the EA has the largest seaplane flying in the world, and it's happening right here. It's also runs for actually over a week. We start receiving airplanes Saturday morning, and we're running through the weekend, so it's basically 9 days, and it's a busy place.
So, Paul, what about numbers this year? It looks like a lot of airplanes to me. How are we filling out this year at the seaplane base?
It's actually kind of hard to tell right now because we still have incoming aircraft while we also have some departures. I think a couple days of bad weather early in the week kept some of the straight float, or the aircraft that can only land on water, don't have the option of going to airports, kept them out. So I'm not sure of those numbers, but by looking out in the lagoon here, we look as busy as ever. Currently we're at about 100, and our higher numbers have been in the 130 range, but who knows, it's only Saturday.
Yeah, that's right. So it looks like we're right on par with the other years that we've been out here. Tell us a little bit about the structure this year. You've had some exciting things happen, and through the past year as well. Tell us a little bit about what's changed since we talked to you last.
Well, some of the aircraft that came in this year have been really pretty exciting. We did have demonstration flights by the Icon A5. Yesterday we had standing room only crowds for that, and it was a beautiful flight demonstration. The aircraft was demonstrated on the water, in the air, and maneuvered around our bay. It exceeded my expectations of what it would do. That was interesting. We also started a new venue here at the seaplane base where we have people with interesting aircraft will go out and demonstrate the aircraft, and over a microphone have another person from the company describing what's going on as they're maneuvering around the bay, as well as other pilots that are just showing basic seaplane techniques. We also have started forums in our tent this year, which in the past we tried, and apparently we hadn't had the right formula. This year we have it right because we got good crowds for that, mostly safety-related seminars related to seaplanes.
That's a good addition for your attendees that are coming mainly for seaplane activities.
Absolutely.
And most of the other venues do have forums, so that's a likely addition here. Let's talk about some of the special airplanes you saw. There's a Cabin Waco, a YKS-6, on floats this year. We're going to talk to the owner of that, John Thomason, later in this hour. Anything else other than the Icon? Of course, the Icon's been a big airplane this year in the media, and so having it show up here had to be special.
Well, that Waco, when we watch it fly around here, it's incredible to watch a Waco cabin on floats. And when you look up at it and see the beauty of it, and then listen to that big round engine, it's just, it's awesome. We do have another aircraft that came in yesterday, which is a Spencer Air Car, and a home-built airplane, a very complex home-built airplane. If you think of a Republic CB, it's pretty much the same concept and size, and this aircraft is flawless. I haven't had a chance to talk to the gentleman that built it, but I could spot it from the dock when it came in, and I don't usually have time to go look at airplanes, but this airplane I went out to look at. We also have another airplane came in just this morning, a composite version of a kind of a cross between a Grumman Widgeon and a Grumman Goose. And I haven't been really corrected on how you say it. It's spelled G-W-E-D-U-C-K. And I heard it's called Gooey Duck.
That sounds like Gooey Duck to me.
Yeah. And it's there too. It's a very interesting airplane. They're looking at a potential of going into production with it.
So input from the crowd, things people are telling you as the chairman this year versus last year, some comments?
Sure. That's been kind of interesting for me this year because at the seaplane base, we try not to necessarily change things just for the sake of change. And I've been busy in my professional life lately. So some of that that I normally would be trying to make new changes or implement changes, I didn't get around to. And I had people walking up to me saying, you know, everything that's going on in the world today, we're really glad that things haven't changed at seaplane base. It's like coming home.
It's like with all the things that are going on with the economy, a new president, still at war, people can say, you know what, we're going to get a week where we can go back to the way things have been for as many years as I've been coming here.
That's right. And I guess when I think back on situations, that's one of the things I like too. Obviously change that's positive and good we all need to do. But I think there's a comfort in knowing that it's still the same as it used to be.
Do you know how many volunteers you have this year?
I did not get an exact count on it, but I'm going to anticipate around 160.
160 volunteers, wow.
Yes.
That's quite the turnout.
Well, it's kind of funny. I had the chance to walk someone around from the FAA, and we described to them what we do here. And he said, wow, when you sit over on the shore and you look around, say, wow, it's such a nice, relaxed atmosphere. But when you start to understand how everything works here, it can be a little crazy, even though it looks relaxed from the outside. It's a labor-intensive thing with seaplanes versus a land plane. A lot of personal attention to moving an aircraft. We don't let them taxi around in the mooring field, that sort of thing. But it's an interesting place, and it's the only one in the world that operates this way. So very unique experience.
Paul, anything that's happening from your perspective between now and next year that seaplane people have to look forward to?
I think the biggest thing that we're doing is we try to do everything we can to help people promote seaplanes. Anybody that has a new product, anybody that has, any kind of, I mean, we want people to learn how to, you know, fly a seaplane, get their seaplane rating. And a lot of people might do that and never actually own their own seaplane, but they're connected. And I would say that's probably the biggest thing we're doing is our job here at the seaplane base is to help promote seaplanes and obviously to help just educate people about seaplanes.
Paul, you're going to have us talk to one of your key volunteers, Mr. Bill Barnes, here in a moment. Tell us a little bit about what Bill does and what he has done here at the Seaplane Base in the past.
Bill Barnes has been a long-time volunteer here at the Seaplane Base, and he's one of the people that I like to call our core group of volunteers. All volunteers are important, but we have a core group that have been here a long time and are well-rounded and kind of can jump in on any job. He's done pretty much all the jobs, and he does them well.
All right, Bill Barnes, how are you doing today?
I'm just fine today, having a wonderful time here at Oshkosh.
Well, Paul just introduced you to us and a little bit about what you do. And what I'd like to talk to you about today is actual mechanics of the seaplane base. When you come, start to set up what you do, what you set up, what happens out here in the mooring field, and to set up the Harbor Master Station, all that, and then what those different jobs are for the volunteers.
Okay, we have a lot of jobs for volunteers here. My wife and I bring four grandkids here, and we get here the Wednesday before the show starts to help with the setup procedure. And at that point in time, we're getting the docks in order, we're getting the air and the tires on the luggage carts, picking up leaves and sticks and so forth, and making sure that all the things that have been put away for the winter are brought out and ready for use. And about the time the first airplanes get here, the float balls are all out there Memorial Day weekend. And we get the towboats out of storage, get the motors on them and that kind of thing. And then the operational thing, when the airplanes arrive, we've got a point controller out there, which is one of our volunteer positions. And he controls the passage of airplanes through that narrow opening out there, which we call the gap. And if we've got an airplane coming in, he gives a clearance from the dock as to which dock we want him to. And that airplane comes directly to the dock. We unload the passengers, the baggage, put them into the carts for our baggage hauling volunteers. And then the aircraft is turned around and we have a towboat with some special hookups on it that takes the airplane and tows it out to the mooring buoys out in the mooring field. We don't allow airplanes to taxi into that area because the whirly swirly winds we have here around these trees, it could be very easy to overshoot the thing, and the next thing you know your propeller's chewing up aluminum on somebody else's airplane, which isn't a good thing. So the airplanes are moved into the mooring fields only by boat. And they have a real nice three-point connection on those from the two points to the back two corners of the boat. And these fellows that are moving these boats are towboat volunteers, and they have several years' experience moving these things, and they can turn them around, back them up, stop them, start them, and really have maneuverability. Some of the other positions that we have are the dock workers. These are the ones that catch the airplanes as they come in to the dock, make sure they don't run on into the beach or hit a boat behind it. We have greeters whose duty is to welcome the pilot to Oshkosh, get the information from the pilot as the name, address, phone number, phone contact in case there's something wrong with their airplane while they're here. We get the registration of the type of aircraft, whether or not they need fuel, and they take them over to camping registration. The camping here at the sea base is reserved for pilots that fly in on float planes and full-time volunteers. If we were to open it to everybody, Camp Schuler would be empty and we would be overflowed.
So that's a few of your jobs. And then you've got a lot of young people running around here. You said you bring your grandchildren. I see a lot of high school age, college age people running around here. There's jobs for them too as well, correct?
Right. I brought my oldest grandson here when he was 11, and his duties was a baggage hauler. They would take the baggage from the aircraft, and they take the fellas' tents out to the campground and help with that. We have a whole group of youngsters that are a little bit older, and they do the grounds work. They pick up the trash out of the trash containers, load it into a trailer, and take it out to the dumpster. They pick up things and odds and ends on the ground. They load the fuel into the tiki torches, because we have electricity at parts of this field, but not the whole place. And so we use these tiki torches to light the pathways back to the campground and that kind of thing. Well, that's a labor-intensive job, so we have several of the young men doing that.
Someone's got to keep the tiki torches of that anti-mosquito stuff, huh?
Well, the anti-mosquito stuff is a whole different bag. We have a fogger that uses the insecticide and a mixture of diesel fuel pumped into the exhaust of a 5-horse engine. And when he fogs, it's fogged.
Because the residue from the diesel sticks to everything.
Well, it's the insecticide, the malathion, or whatever he's using that's in there that sticks to the leaves and the foliage, and the mosquitoes land on that, and that's the end of them. And so it's usually relatively mosquito-free here. When they get bad, we start up the fogger, and we run it about twice a day, morning and evening.
Oh, okay. So this is an everyday operation. So you weren't kidding. This really is labor-intensive.
Right. There's a lot of things that have to be done by a lot of people. There's an army of about 200 volunteers here that keep this thing going. Because we've got, as you can see, there's a whole group of people that are at the dock. Some are dock workers that catch the airplanes. Then there's towboat drivers that tow the boats out to the mooring. We have non-towing boat drivers that will take the pilot out to his airplane when he forgot his GPS or he wants to pump his floats. It's done out there. And we have a group that drive pontoon boats. We have harbor tours here where we have a free tour. You can get on the pontoon boats and we ride all the way around the mooring field so they can get close-ups for pictures of all the airplanes here. And those are free. We do have a souvenir button that we sell. It's a donation of $3 for the souvenir button, and that's primarily how we raise enough money to get the fuel for the boats.
Right. Well, that's a good deal.
And then we have one volunteer that runs the fuel pump and keeps track of how many gallons each pilot got so that we make sure that they get a chance to pay for their fuel.
Our listeners might be interested to know, that this really is not a seaplane base other than just a few weeks or a month out of the year.
That's correct. As you look around, this looks like a seaplane base, but it's not. It is all private property owned by the Vetti family, and it's been in the same family for about two or three generations now. And originally, there was a corduroy railroad that ran across through here, and they got that would haul logs up to the lumber mill up at Perryville, which is all extinct and gone now. So this is a real nice protected lagoon here that gives us a good mooring spot. And they had an engineer that worked with their company by the name of Al Zabel. And he and his friend Dan Brennan liked to fly and go fishing, and they asked the Vetti family if they could park their airplanes in here so that they could go on their hunting and fishing trips and so forth. And to make things a little bit more comfortable for them, they bought 1.9 acres from the Vetti family, which is in this original display lagoon here.
Okay.
And they built a boathouse to keep their boats and their supplies in. Then when Bill Brennan retired, he sold that back to the Vetti family. But in 1970, when the EAA moved their operation up here to Whitman Field, Bill had a friend who wanted to come down on straight floats and go to the show. Well, you can't land straight floats on a concrete runway more than once. And so he asked Bill if he could park over here where they park. And by 73, Proberzny asked the Vetti family if he would be willing to let them use this area for that week of Oshkosh. And so they've worked out a nice lease arrangement where this is known as Oshkosh Seaplane Base for 1 week of the year. The rest of the time, we take all these balls out here on Monday morning, put them into the storage buildings, put all the boats up behind them. There's nothing here that looks like a seaplane base for the rest of the year.
Very cool. Well, we're going to take a break, Bill, and when we come back, we're going to talk to another one of your key volunteers, the Harbor Master.
Okay.
We'll return in just a moment. You're listening to EAA Radio, AM 1210, 93.1 FM, and on the web worldwide at airventure.org.